It's good to be here this evening, and I'm glad to see as many people there is. I mean, really, I'm surprised. Somebody didn't tell who was talking. Don, I appreciate your prayer. And, you know, I do pray that what I say is God's word, you know, what he wants me to say. And I hope that it benefits everyone tonight on what I say. And I titled this The Word of Truth. And this came about, just like every lesson anybody does, by different events and different things which happen. I was talking to Charlotte last week, and she sort of changed things. We were talking about the old days, when we were growing up. And when there wasn't no television to watch, all you had was a radio. And people sat out in their front yards and until it got dark. A lot of times they would have the window cracked open and the radio would be playing in the room, and you'd be either, my father, if he was around, he'd be listening to the Cincinnati Redlegs, listening to ball games. But radio was the television at that time. I can remember a lot of the programs which I listened to. I remember listening to the Long Rangers. I remember listening to Sam Spade. I remember listening to, a lot of the comic book characters that you have today. There was songs, there was different programs which pertained to games and things like that. And I'm using one of them tonight to talk about, to give you an idea, Truth or Consequences. That was the one which we all always listened to. And you'd wonder how you could have a game show which they're punishing somebody for giving the wrong answer, and it's on radio, and how you can really see that. But it was exciting, believe it or not, it was exciting. Radio really got started around 1940. It lasted about 17 years and got into, you know, like 57. TV came around somewhere in the 50s. Late 40s, early 50s. We couldn't afford a TV until the late 50s. But we listened to the radio a lot. But tonight, I want to look at the title of Truth or Consequences. We want to look at the word of truth, the scriptures, and give it a title, or look at it as being an experience that we have. To follow the word of truth. If we don't do that, we do suffer consequences. And this is what we have to realize. Mankind has struggled through time being able to know what truth was. It was a confusing thing. A lot of people don't realize that today we probably don't hear half the truth. Everything that we listen to is probably stretched out of proportion, brought to us in a way that is not helpful for us. But I didn't think I was going to have trouble, but I am. But mankind has struggled with truth. When I worked at the power plant, I had two brothers that worked for me. They both are INC techs. One of them would be in there while we're killing time waiting for an emergency to come in. And he'd start telling stories about his life. And he'd go into these stories, and these stories were so outrageous and so far out, you just know they couldn't be true. And anyway, he would go out, and the other brother would come in, and we were talking about, he was talking to us about whenever they were down on the Grand Canyon doing pack horses down into the canyon. And he would pick up with this story and continue on exactly the same place, and it would be the same story, not vary in any way at all. I met his father whenever I was deer hunting one time, and his father told us the same story. So either the father had the sons trained very well with the story, or they were telling the truth all the time. And that's what we have to realize. It is important that we do tell the truth. Now, Pontius Pilate asked a question suggesting a struggle that he was having. What is truth? And in John 18, 37 through 38, it says, "Therefore Pilate said to him, 'So you are a king?' And Jesus answered, 'You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.' Pilate said to him, 'What is truth?' And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, 'I find no guilt in him.'" This might have been a cynical question that Pilate, whenever he said, "What is truth?" It might have been a skeptical question. And it may be a question where he had confusion in what he's saying. No matter the intent of Pilate's question, the burning issue today is, what is truth? Humanity has struggled with changing truths. A long time ago, people thought the earth was flat, but it turned out to be round. People believed the earth rotated around the sun. I mean, the sun rotated around the earth instead of the sun, the earth rotating around it. Now we're into the issue of, are we in global warming, or is this the normal climate, the long-term pattern of the climate? When I was young, I remember that there's 8 planets would revolve around the sun. Not anymore. There's 7, because somebody says Pluto's not a lot of planet. So truth can change. I know one thing is relative truth. My wife thinks that coconut pie is terrible. She doesn't like the way it tastes. I love it. So we sort of disagree. But what is true in this situation may not be true in another situation. But there is the word of truth. God's word is truth. In John 17:17, he says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." God's word is truth because he is the source of it. He says it's true because it was he who said it. That's what makes it true. Scripture is not like other written books of science and history and philosophy. They make mistakes in their writings. The scriptures don't have mistakes. Works of human origin is subject to error due to human frailties on authorship and writing. A new edition of the Bible is not written to correct errors in the Bible. And because the Bible has no errors. The one thing I do is I take comfort in the fact that the Bible is true and God's word is true. He does not make mistakes. In 1 John 3, 18 through 20, it says, "Little children, let us not love with words or with tongue, but in deeds and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our hearts before him. In whatever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and knows all things." Mm-hmm. Some observations is truth will set us free. We know in John 8:32 it says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." But notice that truth is knowable. Ye shall know the truth. God's truth is absolute. Thus, the truth to be known is the same for everyone. The word of truth is the same for everyone. Peter, he preached to the Gentiles the same exact word as he taught to the Jews. He gave them the way of salvation, and both of them could follow exactly the same way, both the Jews and the Gentiles. In Acts 10:34, Opening his mouth, Peter said, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. The word of truth is complete." In John 16:13, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." We know that the Holy Spirit reveals all the truth and everything to us. We recall that the Holy Spirit did reveal Jesus' promise in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11 through 15. It says, "For who among men know the thoughts of men except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of whom is from, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human's wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritually appraised all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one." Verse 14 and 15 in the New American Standard Version confused me, the way that the words are spoken. So I went to the NIV, and I like the NIV. It's clear to me in a lot of ways. I'm going to read 14 and 15 in NIV. "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritual concerns. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment." Well, to me, that's clear. There is not another truth out there awaiting to be discovered. The Word of God is the truth that we have. We cannot depend on the Word of truth for correct, accurate instructions or guidance for our lives. God omits nothing needed for our salvation. I said not, didn't I? We can depend on the Word of truth for correct, accurate instructions and guidance for our lives. God omits nothing needed for our salvation. And we know that God gives us everything that we need. He has it. He has all the details. We talked in the Wednesday night class in Romans. We were talking about how people take only the parts that they want, and they pick it out, and they don't look at everything else which is in the Scriptures. And that's one way that we really get, our people get misled. The word of truth can and must be obeyed. In 1 Peter 1, verse 22, "Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your soul for a sincere love of brethren, fervently love one another from your heart," or from the heart. This is not truth like you get from writings from history books and philosophy and science books and stuff like that, something that you have to absorb into your brain. You know, I was thinking about that whenever I was writing this. I'm saying, yeah, I can remember, you know, the preamble. You know, "We the people of the United States enabled to form a more perfect union, established," you know, and all that. It's up there because you beat it in your brain, beat it in your brain, beat it in your brain. Abraham Lincoln, 67 years ago, you know, you can go on. But this isn't what the Bible is all about. It's not something to be absorbed. The word of truth gives instructions requiring action. Whenever you're doing, when you're following the word of God, you need to follow the actions which are required. Some of the examples is Mark 16:16. He who believes and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disobeyed shall be condemned. In Acts 2:38, Peter says to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then Acts 10:48, and he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. Instructions for obedience and instructions for life as followers of Christ, as disciples. In John 8:31, it says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. Once we receive God's word, once we have accepted it, once we are living the life of a Christian, we have to continue to do that. We have to be his disciples and continue that work and continue that walk. The word of truth must be handled correctly. We all know 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. There were and are those who do not treat the word of truth correctly. They may twist it or ignore its importance. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by manifesting the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Is that one of those cold? Can't remember what they call it. But we have to realize that there are people that will mislead you. And our job is to follow God's word the way that it's supposed to, that it's written. For the time of the apostles, there have been those willing to misuse the word of truth. The word of truth saves. Twisted truth, however, is fatal to faith. I'm going to go back to 2 Timothy 2:15, but I'm going to read through 18. And I'll have some trouble with these two names, but I'll stumble through them. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chattering, for it will lead to further ungodliness. And their walk will spread, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. We know that talking and or incorrect talking within a congregation will cause problems. And like they use the word gangrene. Yes, it infects, it gets in a congregation and it'll destroy it. In a world which seldom knows the truth, is a world in which truth is sold for whatever they can get with a cheap return. The word of truth provides us with refreshing alternatives. We know in Proverbs 23:23, it says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and do not sell it. I see those in larger congregations, or larger churches. They take the truth and they sell it for having the ability to be the largest congregation in the area or the biggest congregation. I know that it seems like whenever a church starts to grow and it gets really, really big, you start ending up with faults and problems in it. The seems like an ideal size is probably somewhere around the 80 to 120. It seems like that's really, you know everyone. You're able to associate with everyone and have everybody as friends. God has made his word simple and plain for us to understand. This lesson, I zoomed through it. I gave you an outline so that it was basically the lesson. We could have probably just had the invitation song and been done. But one thing I just want to get across, take the notes I gave you and read them and go through them and follow the scriptures and follow it out. God's given us everything we need. He's given us every means that we have to spread the word in the communities. He's given us all the means to become strong and serve him and do the things that he wants us to do. I'm looking around, and I think everybody's a member here. I know that Sunday nights, you can be pretty sure who's here. It's those which put God first and understand the importance of being here. And I do appreciate everybody that did show up, and I hope that you gained something other or got something from what I said. Jesus has made it simple for us to live our life. If we do make mistakes, if we do fall, or if we do stumble, he gives us ways to get out of that. He helps us to go to him in prayer and ask for his help. He's always there and available 24 hours, 7 days a week. It's a great service. But if there is anyone who has not accepted Christ, if they've heard his word, believe it, willing to repent of their sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in front of people, and then be baptized for the remission of their sins, that opportunity can be yours. But if there's anyone that needs the prayers of the congregation, needs to be strengthened or encouraged by the members, that opportunity is yours too, as we sing the invitation song.